weekend. Karen Young and Michelle Donato, a duo, and the Sonny Greenwich Quartet. My name is Victor Coleman. My recording engineer is Paul Hodge. Join us next week. Good night, Susie. Say something?
No.
To go with the
last two. Full moon. It's appropriate. It's still Wednesday. It has to always be on a Wednesday as the growling informs us of some new work.
to be linear and maintain a point of view on one topic. You know, you geeky, and look what happens. They can't maintain the linearity. You can't be done on radio.
This is the worst take we've ever had. Heard and had run.
This is the worst take we've ever had.
Present. Me. They can't maintain the linearity. They can't be done on radio.
Well, Bob, full of surprises. Good to have you back. Welcome. Welcome once again.
It's great to be electric with you again, Mike.
A different time, a different atmosphere, certainly a lot quieter down here, and I think you can see why I made the move. I didn't get a job at all. I simply wanted to tell the program people that I had a job so I could move to this very quiet, very peaceful...
Oh, the slack's coming out of you tonight, Mike. You're such a good liar now, having been with me for those... 10-12 months. You can lie. You can get whatever you want, it seems. I mean,
you know, it's a possibility that we have new listeners tonight. Do you think we should do any sort of very brief synopsis about what we've been doing for the last year or so?
Let's hear your version.
Well, I guess, was it a year ago?
It was June 17th, 1987.
To be exact. So it's almost, well, it's as close to a year as we can get.
Yes.
And I remember this unshaven man coming into the studio claiming to be J.R. Bob Dobbs, Church of the Subgenius. This gentleman had heard myself talking about the church periodically, very sporadically on the station, and identified me as the source and came to me directly.
Because you were on Wednesday.
Because I was on Wednesday as well, which is just another coincidence. Well, not really a coincidence, but an important fact.
But you were a pink with potential then.
Yeah.
And you have mutated into very approximate subgeniushood since.
So with all these factors considered, you approached me, and I somewhat reluctantly, playing the role of the inquisitive reporter, cub reporter, thought, well, is this Bob? I knew you had been assassinated, but I know that a lot of assassinations never actually occurred, and so it could have been you.
Thanks to learning from Bob Marshall.
We should give credit to Bob Marshall where credit's due, of course. And so you're back here. You came back and resurfaced, and... there were a lot of questions about the Church of the Subgenius. You brought out some of Ivan Stang's
work
and his will, claiming that he had in fact stolen your archives, passed you off as dead, and you resurfaced here in Toronto.
And so promoted his book, which is on what got on sale last summer at the same time I surfaced.
That's
about
right.
A month after.
Again, somewhat ironically. And then, of course, there were so many topics we covered last year that you covered. I sat here like a dog.
You covered
my head.
You covered them up.
And it culminated last year with us.
No, this year.
This
it culminated
year,
with I, the yeah. election.
Well, with the election, but I think it also culminated to a certain degree with us confronting
Ivan Stang.
With your suggestion, Ivan Stang and the church in Dallas. And a pretty heated up discussion, I think it was.
20-minute debate was on April 13th.
Nothing really resolved, although I think Stang came out for the worse, and I think it gave you a few very strong points in support. I made the big switch. We decided to give it a bit of a rest, and we should have come back really last week, being the 22nd. But
you announced it on the 22nd.
Right, so we left it to the 29th, and we're back together again. And we'll do this, every other month, maybe twice a month, I guess?
Every other week.
Every other week, or maybe sometimes in...
Yeah, depending on Bob's
schedule.
Which comes to the next point, is the proof that I was running for the Secret Council of Ten, which was the main solar government entity that's running this region of the universe over the past, since 1945.
And nobody believed that I was running, but I did win the election on, was it March 3rd? The election was held February 24th, the results given on March 3rd. And it was appropriate that I take off on April 20th, Hitler's birthday, your last daytime show, because I had some heavy administration's activities to involve myself in because of the tension and heat put on me occupying that powerful position as chairman of the Secret Council of Ten. Now, to move on, do you want me to explain what's been happening the last 2 months, or do you have something more update?
Well, I have a few things we can, right. I could get to. When we ended, you were really just getting into your archive, so I assume that we'll continue along that path and you'll continue to open up more of your files as these weeks progress. Is that true?
Yes. The minutes from the meetings since 1973 till 87 when I became, 88 when I became chairman, in that period, there was much conferring with me on the council, and I was stating my views of things, though I wasn't in a command position, so I think what I said has been borne out, and now I'm in position to read those minutes before they were suppressed. It would not have been revealed via popular media. So, we'll be hearing excerpts of my minutes over the years.
I think as well, with the peculiar hour that we are on the air, we might want to field one or two phone calls periodically,
Oh, we can take them any time now. The thing about phone calls, we cannot broadcast them.
Well, I know.
The pinks are monitoring us, and we must respect the tough times for community radio.
Well, perhaps then I could act as...
You take the questions. If they don't mind not hearing themselves, it's a problem anyways, hearing in the radio, we will hear their questions, you will address them immediately.
It's a shame, really. I would much rather have people ask you directly.
I was given instructions by certain elements not to do it, so
okay.
I will obey that.
I'll run through a couple of very quick things I want to get to, and then you could say what you want to say. Maybe we'll play just a short excerpt tonight from...
a sample of the loser version.
Of the Church of the Sun Genius. As you may know, Bob, this weekend, beginning I think tomorrow, people start arriving tomorrow anyway, is the Anarchist, Toronto is playing host to the Anarchist Conference, or the Unconference, as they like to call it. It is called a survival gathering here in Toronto, and this is a topic that, we've just broached, really, and we haven't touched upon in any detail. I'd like to know where Bob sits with regards to anarchy and the anarchists, and vice versa, where they might view Bob in their greater scope of things.
Yeah, you're giving me a good chance to summarize what I would have said upcoming Monday, because I was scheduled to give a Bob performance there, but talking to the certain organizers of the event, there are too many bands, so there's not enough time for my MC work, which is fine with me, because I think I might have suffered antagonism attacks as a result of what I'm going to say, so it's better to say on radio right now. I will say this about the Anarchist Conference, that without a complete understanding of the 7 to 10 holy offices today, you cannot be as great an anarchist as me. And I am the chief anarchist. I have claimed this through the years here in Toronto. But it's not the old pink version of anarchy. There's a lot of pinks going into anarchy due to confused pattern recognition. But those holy offices, which are relevant to what I've been doing for the last 2 months, maybe I can sidestep into this, or we can continue later. But those holy offices are, of course, Mae Brussel. You have to have a complete understanding of her work, a complete understanding of Marshall McLuhan's work, Lyndon LaRouche's work, Herbert W. Armstrong, former head director of the Worldwide Church of God. You have to have a complete understanding of the musical landscapes of Frank Zappa and their tactile textures. You have to have a complete understanding of Finnegan's Wake by James Joyce. And you have to understand the relevance of Dr. Beter, especially to Gorbachev's statements this past week. Now, those are 7 holy offices, and a few others, but those are the main ones that are more well-known. I've been dealing and working in the last 2 months with propping them up and holding their stressed, intenseful, tension-filled time since I've been elected. But that is what I would have said. I would have highlighted the main points from those people to the anarchists. They're not qualified if they don't understand that work. You have to go through those bardos. They're bardos. They're information bardos. They're patterns or archetypes you have to go through. You have to experience all the effects of them. And then after that, you know how to be an anarchist.
Okay. Maybe perhaps it's just as well that you didn't show up this Monday night.
Yes, I think those names, some of them, especially Lyndon LaRouche, are not very popular on the pink circuit. Your next question.
These are just thoughts, Bob. They're not really questions. I'm not a very penetrating person anyway. And one of the, I guess we just passed the anniversary of Bobby Kennedy's assassination. And I find that Bobby Kennedy is a person whom a lot of people don't talk about in relation to conspiracy theories and his assassination. So any thoughts on that?
That's easy to answer because the book, The Assassination of Robert F. Kennedy by Bill Turner and another writer, came out in 1978, shows that there was such a weak case in covering up the Robert Kennedy assassination that is why it was not gone into in the House Select Committee's investigation of the assassinations in 1978 that went into Martin Luther King and the Kennedy, the John Kennedy one, where they concluded that the Mafia and certain other elements were involved. They concluded it was a conspiracy. But they do not touch the Robert Kennedy assassination because it's too easy to see the hidden pattern that is expressed in the Torbett document. So that's why it is played down, because the evidence in that is so overwhelming, and it's laid out quite well in that book by Bill Turner, that it's a lot harder to cover up that assassination. So it's not mentioned too much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that's about it. I was going to mention The Real Terror Network. Very interesting book.
I know someone who... Some synchronicity. Your friend bought that on the 22nd.
Yeah, and as you did as well.
On the same day I bought it.
Anyways, I'll turn it over to you then for a few minutes and...
Well, the book, The Real Terror Network, refers to my work, right?
Well, yeah.
I am The Real Terror Network. I am the reason why Reagan and them are going after the drug bankers. My drug profits, they're after them. If you've noticed, there seems to be a more clarity among the governments, both East and West, between Reagan and Gorbachev, more clarity on who their enemy is. And that's me, right? Because this is the old pink hierarchy trying to consolidate a panic scenario to deal with my command of the present media ecology that I can orchestrate with extreme slack and skill. Right. For example, the past 2 months, after April 20th, I had to go off and do some immediate administrative work. What did I have to do? May Brussels get the death threat, forced off the air. Already been backtracking and not broadcasting nationally, but still broadcasting locally, as she had done since 1971. The death threats came up from Los Angeles. She, for the first time in 17 years, had to get off the air. In other words, they started attacking my holy offices, my holy subgenius associates, as soon as I was in command. I mean, it's a tantrum by them, right? So May Brussels still off the air. The next thing was, I then moved in and did some protective work around her. I then had to rush down to Boston and turn the jury around to get LaRouche off. LaRouche got off. Up to that point, it looked like he was going to jail, but LaRouche got off. They declared a mistrial, and even the jury said all the LaRouche associates were scot-free if the trial had been completed. I got LaRouche off. I then had to meet with Zappa. I'd already met him in February. But what I told him was to basically be very careful. And sure enough, within a month, 60 Minutes comes and does a story on Zappa. Now, they never ran it yet, and they probably won't run it.
Yeah.
But see, 60 Minutes is a heavy pink intelligence network, and they come in and they do some heavy spying on your network for future problems they might want to put into your situation, especially in Frank's situation in the year. So my warning came true, and I'm sure he's handling the negativity that comes from the immediate proximity of 60 Minutes' TV crew, all right? So that was how I had to protect Frank, all right? We'll see if they do run the 60 Minutes item on Frank. The other thing, dealing with the James Joyce Holy Office, I had to do some heavy research and prop up Wyndham Lewis, James Joyce's alter ego and twin that's illustrated and metaphorized in Finnegan's Wake, the Shem and Sean twins. That's James Joyce and Wyndham Lewis. Wyndham Lewis, a Canadian. Joyce and Lewis, both born in 1882. I had to do some heavy energizing by bringing out Wyndham Lewis's books, reading them to myself, so that I could energize their thought forms as an ecological structure in this media swamp period, and also under my administration. And I particularly recommend and focused on his book, America and Cosmic Man, came out in 1948, a lot more significant than George Orwell's 1984, which came out the same year, right? As for Dr. Beter, how did I protect him? He died last year in March. I had to do some very rapid negotiation for his wife, Mrs. Beter, and their family, getting a lot of pressures, a lot of expenses, and their old associate, Edward Durrell. Unfortunately, I couldn't hold it together enough. He died, I think it was May 1st, early part of May, Durrell carried the Fort Knox gold hoax story. He carried it on while Dr. Beter concentrated on other things and making his tape recordings. Edward Durrell died at the age of 94, an expert on the stealing and the looting of the gold from Fort Knox, which Dr. Beter first exposed in 74. So Durrell, I couldn't hold him conscious. Maybe it was better. He left his plane. Now I'm putting a whole protective bob light around Mrs. Beter. So I've run through Bressel, McLuhan. Oh, yeah, the final thing. Oh, yeah, no, Marshall McLuhan. What did I do on that? Now, Marshall McLuhan's letters came out, right, last November. What happened there? There's been a lot of hit articles by British and Canadian intelligence networks defeating the cataclysmic revelatory nature of his letters being read by every subgenius in pink who got a hold of the book, right? What happens? Michael Bliss, a so-called journalist scholar for at the U of T, writes an article for Saturday Night, you know, John Fraser's magazine, does a hit job calling Marshall false prophet. Hmm. Well, we took care of that. You look for the letters column in future Saturday Nights. You'll see some comments on Mr. Bliss.
Sure. Hit them when they're down. Yeah.
Hit them when ignorance is bliss. Yeah. And that's what he showed at that point. He does not know how to use ignorance for discovery. See, people want to organize people in groups for unionization, for political action. But I say organize and unionize ignorance for discovery. All right, so Michael Bliss will be suffering the consequences as a result of his hit job on Marshall in the May issue.
So indeed, you have been very, very busy.
One more thing.
Oh, yeah.
In the May issue of Saturday Night, for anybody who wants to check out his false prophet article. The final thing, Herbert W. Armstrong, what do we need to do for him? He already runs a world empire, world religion. Well, it says in the Bible that until Herbert's message is broadcast in Russia, then the Armageddon cannot happen. Because the whole world has to hear Herbert's version of Christ's testimony, right? So I'm working behind the scenes to take advantage of the new deals between Gorbachev and Reagan to set up broadcasting of Herbert W. Armstrong's regular TV shows in Russia. That should have quite an effect. It may be interpreted as pink, but I tell you, there's subgenius elements in that man.
They'll be rioting in the streets.
Yeah. Okay, sorry I went on so long, but that's an appraisal of the last 2 months. Very busy.
But we wanted to know, you know, what you're up to. And, what Bob, should we just play just another short segment from this?
The sample of our old enemy, Ivan Stang, who has a new book out called High Weirdness by Me.
Yeah, I wanted to talk. Maybe we could wrap up by talking about the new book very briefly. And let's play just a short segment from, this is a Media Barrage tape, I believe.
Yeah, it's called Bob Attack. It's about number 4.
Where are we, Bob?
The code is broken.
Trouble?
Big.
Security?
I have the lid on tight.
Well, take it off for me.
The message is, Mars needs women.
Mars needs? So it's a gag. It's a prank. It's a fake.
I don't think so, sir.
They're tired of cold services and cold churches. This world is hungry for reality. They've had enough of Hollywood. They've had enough of Nashville. They've had enough of show business. They're hungry for the mighty power of the man that walked the shores of Galilee 2,000 years ago and raised the dead and cast out devils and healed the sick. And I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ is still raising the dead and healing.
Oh, back from the dead. That's right, his grinning skull floats ever in front of your eyes, because Jesus brought him back, and he's lusting for the flesh of the living.
And these things are coming and coming speedily. We're near the very, very end of the church age, and of course, the Gentile times has already come to a close.
How are you dangerous? I mean, you don't conform to proper thought patterns. You need to be scanned.
Well, neither do you, and you need to be scanned, too.
Oh, my goodness.
It's no accident that God has you on at this late hour where decent people can't hear you except for those like me that are forced to stay awake to feed their families.
What am I going to do with this animal?
Control, you must be in control.
Excellent, excellent. I read you loud and clear. Now then, you are to take this planet in the name of the Earth.
He's gonna bump you up, yeah. He's got a gun, you know.
All right, if you're gonna kill me, hurry up. I have to take my Sonica, too.
I hope you enjoyed that.
I'm gonna tell you the way it is.
Member of your church. I want to give all I got. I want to love Bob. I want to love Bob.
I was in a room just the other day in Dallas.
Well, I did benefit from it, of course. But so did a whole bunch of old Dallas boys.
But the one thing is for sure, and if you let Bob do your thinking for you, you won't have to worry about nothing come July 4th, 1998. When Bob comes down in his giant mothership, looking kind of like a big pillbox, Bob will be landing, and you can climb right in, because he's going to know. He's going to have your name on a computer printout. Yes, sir, dear friends, and that CRT tube available right there at his fingertips. He can call your name up, and he'll know exactly what you've done for him. He'll know exactly how much donations you've taken in. He'll know exactly how much money you've given to the church.
And he said, yea, the head of the prophet, Sob, shall ne'er bleed.
Well, from the Church of the Subgenius, Dallas, Texas, Ivan Stang, touching upon some of Bob's archives.
Old theme now.
Bob, I had a couple of questions.
Come caller questions?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
We love that.
One question.
I hope this wasn't the same old guy, was it? New person?
Fresh faces, Bob.
Great.
Fresh faces,
great.
Fresh questions.
Hey, listen, you remember that woman who called the last show and said, yeah, my God, what is this stuff?
Yeah.
And it was the last show? You gave me your phone number. I called her today,
mm-hmm,
left her a message. She had a new number. Hope she's listening.
Oh, okay.
Carrie.
Carrie. Okay, Carrie. Anyways, this
yeah
isn't from Carrie. This is, well, I'll give you both questions, all right? One, you know, not so serious. One more serious. You may, yeah, alter the balance as you choose. Okay. The color of tomato sauce in a pizza is red. Is this some sort of communist conspiracy? Is that relevant to Bob in any way?
Well, the communists are hot pinks. That's just hot pinkness.
Okay.
And any collectivist effort, either state socialist or corporate socialist, capitalist or communist, is collectivity and anti the independent metaphysical substance of the subgenius. So it is a conspiracy. It is a intense form of pink and dangerous. Yes, he's right.
I'm also
and remember the pizza connection in the recent pre-Irangate scandals. Remember E.F. Hutton and Merrill Lynch working LinkedIn with the Mafia and the Pizza Connection? That should tell you something, sir.
Okay. Second question. I think you'll like this question. I think you will, I don't know, it'll get you your juices flowing again. What about Lyndon LaRouche's plan to colonize Mars by 1988? Is this still going to happen?
Oh, boy.
Someone's on the ball.
Yeah, a very good. Well, first question, I think he just wanted to establish what language he was speaking in and from. Now, the second question, excellent question. Now, Lyndon LaRouche knows about Alternative 3. He knows about the Battle of the Harvest Moon. He knows the Russians have already got the moon base locked up, and they've already established colonies on Mars. Now, Lyndon LaRouche, in his role as a subsidiary agent of my work, has to get millions of people acquainted with the idea that you can get off the planet via this new high-order technology, all right? The services of technology is what LaRouche highlights, all right? Now, LaRouche has to propagandize on that level. It's a lower archetype he's dealing with. The mass mind is still living in the 19th century in little villages and factories, all right? So LaRouche is fully aware of his position, and the reason it sounds absurd from the Pink's point of view that he would colonize Mars in 1988, that is the code by LaRouche by setting that agenda that he already knows is happening. See?
Oh, I see. So for those who feel perhaps time has run out, in fact, time has already arrived.
That's right. In other words, he's working on the old calendar, the pre-1998 calendar, July 5th, 1998, X Day. According to Stang, that's when it was supposed to happen. You know, would that be 10 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
It's already happened. It happened last February, March, when the X's landed, as our theme song says.
Yeah.
And we're already a universal mass discarnate man.
Well, I hope that answers the listener's questions.
You can call back next time. Next in 2 weeks, I guess we'll be on.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of things. You wrap up, but then I have one important.
I think we should wrap up in a minute or less. Okay, Bob, we're over already. So
you have nothing to say.
No, I'll let you go.
We did want to mention the High Weirdness by Mail book put out by Stang.
Right.
The only relevant material in that book is on page 147. The rest is the old Pink pseudo-subgenius network of Stang, hoiked up to print medium intensity, available in most bookstores. Check it out, but pay attention to page 147. That's the key to what I'm talking about. The second point is a subsidiary effort of May Bressel. The Holy Office of May Bressel was the Christic Institute. I don't know if anybody has announced it here in CKLN. The Christic Institute was scheduled to go to trial on Monday, June 27th. They didn't even get to home plate. The judge threw it out of court last Thursday.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
So it looks like George Bush could be president. And it looks like Gary Hart's going to have a tough time to finagle something at the convention next month.
Well,
it's bad news at the Christic Institute. I couldn't hold that together. We got LaRouche off. The Christic Institute is waiting to be sued by John Singlob so they can get back into court. But the Pinks are not going to let them get into court on their own momentum.
So we're still watching for Gary Hart to make a last-minute run.
The substitute for Jesse Jackson and help Dukakis become president.
Good.
Though it is obsolete. Time warp.
Brave prediction, Bob. Yep. But we come to expect that from you. Well, it's been great to have you back again this week.
Great.
Feels good. Feels good energy. A good slack.
And Mike, you're excellent. You're excellent, Mike. You're assigned. Your karma has led you
to
this
way,
point.
Well, okay. Thanks a lot. And thanks for that. Is that our new theme music from now on? Can we use that too?
Sometimes.
I like it a lot better than the other.
Oh, okay. Yeah. If you like a mic for you.
Okay.
For you, Mike, for your endurance, for your stamina, and the fact you got a new haircut, which is smooth and discarnate.
I got it in Halifax, too. Okay. We'll be back in 2 weeks?
Yep.
That's the deal?
Yep.
Okay. Praise Bob.
Thanks, Mike.
For a wide assortment of reading material on subjects relevant to the Third World, visit Third World Books and Crafts. Located at 942 Bathurst Street, Third World Books and Crafts offers literature and crafts dealing with a wide variety of subjects, from health and language to cooking and children's books. That's Third World Books and Crafts, located at 942 Bathurst Street. Sponsors of Diasporic Music with Norman Otis Richmond, heard every Thursday night at 8 on CKLM.
Can you put
I'm going to put you in. Five of them. We have as long as we can make it, and as long as the people will fight back. This is a sound shockwave.
I'm going to go to the hospital.